my privilege this morning to introduce Pastor Ioan Kepteni. He's a native of Moldova, and Pastor Kepteni now lives in Wildwood, Missouri, with his wife, Svetlana, and their three children, Vladimir, Daniela, and Emmanuel, and I believe the family is with them this hour. Is that right? And I believe his mother is here as well. Would you all stand for just a moment and be recognized? Thank you. Thank you. Ioan is an ordained mission pastor with his focus of ministry to countries with religious restrictions, primarily in the predominantly Muslim countries of Eastern Europe and the Middle East. In addition to his missionary trips, he also travels extensively in Europe, Asia, and the United States, teaching seminars and presenting at conferences. His United States ministry is primarily to Russian-speaking churches, assisting them with Bible teaching and helping them understand the need to integrate into the American culture. Pastor Kepteni's other ministry area is through sports, often utilizing sports camps in conjunction with Bible studies. Both he and his son Vladimir are black belt masters in Taekwondo, and Ioan is president of the Taekwondo Federation. He's also a member of the Moldovan Olympic Committee. There's so much more that could be said about Pastor Kepteni's background and qualifications to address us this morning, but for the sake of time, I'll just conclude on a personal note. My wife Janet and I count it a privilege to attend Ioan's classes whenever they are offered locally. We have been deeply convicted and challenged by his teaching. It is very apparent that his insights have come through revelation by the Holy Spirit, and that his passion for the Scriptures is a direct result of his love for our Lord Jesus Christ and for his saints. Please join us in welcoming Pastor Ioan Kepteni to Cornerstone this morning. Ioan.
Thank you. I would like to rejoice together in reading and meditating on God's Word today from Ephesians chapter 4, first three verses. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning from verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I will repeat once again. I urge you, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Today we will talk about unity. And I would like to introduce myself that I'm an expert in English when I'm in Pakistan, Iran, Afghanistan, but I'm immediately losing the confidence when I pass the border of the U.S. Paul left us a lot of precepts for our life, but coming to the subject of unity, he was pleading, he was urging, he was imploring us, he was weeping us, because he understood that the unity is the main subject of the God's church. Look at the church in Jerusalem. The church who lived together in a community, they were having everything together. And I'm coming from East, and you can see in the East the people live in community because they have needs. But here in U.S., you have Sam's Club, you have Walmart, you have everything, and we lose needs in each other. The life of Christianity, of Christian, is a life of dependency. And our flesh always will lead us to independence. Independence from God, independence from each other. And when I came here, just the first meeting with my friends here in the U.S., I proposed them to make a list, actually a chart of two columns, and one column to put their needs, and in another column to put their strength that can give. And you know that for the people it was easy to write down their strength. But many of them, they were saying that we don't have any needs. And that's a tragedy. When we lose the sense of dependence, We don't need each other. And God gave His gifts. And He said, the gifts are for serving one another. He gave me this hand, not to try hard to scratch my hand. He gave me another hand. I can serve this hand, and this hand can serve another. And that's why He put us together and gave me just some of His gifts in order to need you. And He gave you some of needs, not all, in order to need each other. And today we'll talk about unity, but not about unity as a general term. Because we know that even though this world, they try hard to make unity, and we know that the last kingdom on this earth, they will have kind of unity, kind of peace. But we know that there is no peace and unity except in Christ. And today we will talk about only unity of the church. Unity of the church was the last prayer of Jesus Christ and His heart desire. And that's why in John chapter 17, verse 21, He was asking, He was praying to His Father, and I would like to read this verse, very important verse, how Jesus prayed in verse 21. I pray that all of them may be one. Father, just as You are in Me, and I am in You, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. You can see that the unity is the evidence, it's a sign that we belong to Christ. Let them be in unity so the world can see. Really, the unity is the sign. It's the sign that we are Jesus' followers, and we can see in chapter 13 of the same book, in from verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are My disciples, if you love one another. It's evidence for this world to recognize that we are His disciples if they see unity in us. Once I spoke with one woman, and when she found out that I'm a Christian, she said, oh, in our city we have a lot of different churches. And I said, praise the Lord, we are different, the church should be different, praise the Lord. And she said, no, you didn't understand me. We have a lot of churches, but they are from the same denomination. And they said, praise the Lord, let be a church on any street, every street. And she said, no, you didn't understand me. Well, I'm saying they can't support each other, they hate each other, they are in conflict, in quarrels. And they couldn't say anything. So the world is looking at us, and they are waiting to see it. Something different that they are seeing in their life. And that's different, the love which brings to unity. And that's why today we would like to see one passage from the Bible. It's Ephesians 4 from 11 to 16. And looking at this passage, we will preach together in unity. I put myself in dependence, Paul. I'm dependent of Paul. If he will not switch right the slides, I will go astray. And I will put also independence of you, because I will ask you, waiting for you to give the answers. If you will be silent, I will be silent, and all together will be silent during 1.5 hours. So let's preach together this morning. It's something different. But let's experience the unity even in God's Word. So you have the text, the passage from the Bible, and I will read, but you try to be sharp and very smart to understand my reading. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets. Let me find here. I forgot the text of the Bible, and here is the same passage. Just a second. Some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will not longer be infants or kids, children, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of the men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that's Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When you come to every passage of the Bible and you wanna see and find out what's the theme of that passage, look for key repeated words. And now I suggest to look first for all the words which are related to the church, not to the words which describe the church, but which are directly related to the church. And I will give you the first word, which is apostle. But you have to give me the rest. Reading from 11 to 16, which are the next words which are related to the church, directly related to the church. Prophets. Evangelists. Pastors and teachers. Good. Next. Saints. Next. Body of Christ. Good. That's how I'm making everyone to look at the God's Word, because now God provided for every one of you a wonderful teacher. And He is the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you and He will teach you this morning. So, 13, we, next, and you can see that in God's church you'll find two kinds of people, two kinds of Christians. One are mature, and in verse 14, next, we, and children. Next. Yes. Next. I told you that I'll be quiet till you say something. We are preaching all together. Next word. We are good. Body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we missed one. I missed one. Joint supplies. Next. Individual parts. Next. Body. And itself. Now, looking to these keywords, you immediately will figure out that this passage speaks about church. About church of Christ. And now I will ask you some questions. First question is, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists? Who gave? Father, Godfather, or Son? Look at the verses above, 9 and 10, and you immediately, from context, will figure out. Who gave some to be apostles, prophets, and Jesus, yes. And you can see that Jesus, from his side, did everything. He appointed a special people, but for what reason? For what goal? Tell me for what goal. Look there, because you have in the text all the answers. I don't wait for you to make up any answer. You just look in the passage and you'll find the answer. Yes. So our goal as a pastor, teacher, evangelist is to equip, to prepare, to develop, to equip saints. By why the saints should be equipped, prepared in order to come today and say, oh, I'm more prepared than yesterday. Why the saints should be prepared? Why? Yes, to serve more. So any time when I'm preaching, teaching, when I'm waiting for the people to start to serve more. And now we'll draw all together as church. And you know that God appointed, Jesus Christ appointed the certain specific saints. And let's account them one more time. First are apostles, next are prophets, evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. But if you say, listen, I'm in God's church, but I can't find myself in those five categories, who are the rest? Look from the passage. Who are the rest? Saints, yes. And these five categories, they are appointed with one goal. As you said, to equip the saints. And we know that the only way, the only tool to equip is God's word. Now, if you come to a church and you ask, listen, tell me who are your servants and who are the church servants? Usually, I don't know how it's here, but in the East, the people are saying, pastor, we have five deacons, we have, church director, and they will account the servants of the church. But it's not what the Bible says. Who are the servants of the church? We are. So it's like asking a sportsman, who is going to compete? The instructor. Who is going to fight if you ask a soldier? The general. So the teachers, evangelists, pastors, they are not servants. They are instructor of servants. They are a trainer of servants. The servants are the church. And with this understanding, many people limit themselves in action. And now let's look further, and the question is, how should a saint serve? Because you can serve in such a way to disturb the life of the church, but how should the saint serve according to this passage? In order to build up the body. In order to build up the body. But you'll say, listen, I don't understand you. What do you mean to build up the body? And the passage will say, yes, for reaching unity in faith. Not to boasting with your denomination, with the name of your church, but to look for unity. And now, according to the level of perfection, in how many categories is the church divided into? In how many categories? You said once, but maybe you can tell me again. In how many categories is divided church into? In two. One is mature person.
According to the level of perfection, that's what I mean.
And the second is
kids.
And you know the main difference between a mature person and a kid. Many of you have kids. And you know that you are giving the best to your kids. You are giving your time, your attention. You are feeding them, clothing them. And what you get back? You are getting back during the night, they cry. They are holding their mom's skirts and they don't allow to leave them. They want all the attention to them and they want to receive. But we are giving our life and our love in hope that they once will start to serve. And when a child is born in your family, it's a big celebration. It's a big celebration when the God's child is born in spiritual family. But if 10 years pass by, and if that child remains on the same level of perfection, of maturity, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for a family, and it's a tragedy for God's family. When we have kids who didn't come to Christ just a few weeks ago, but they came to Christ 20 years ago, but they remain with that childish focus of receiving and not giving, of looking for a church where the pastor is meeting their needs, where the music is according their desires, where the team of servants is helping them, serving them, but they don't look for a church to serve, for a church with problems to give and not to receive. If I would like to find out, I'm new in this church, I came for the first time. If I would like to find out who is mature here and who is a kid, I have to go to the leader and ask, listen, who is working with you as a team? And he will tell me, that one, that guy, that family, and I immediately will find out who is mature. How about the rest? They are coming to church, but maybe they never been a part of the church, because the church in the Bible, it's something that comes in unity, and all the illustrations from the Bible of the church points us to the unity. The church is compared to the body. Now look at this body. It's a body till I have joints. If my joints disappear, what you will see here? Of bones and meat, but not a body. Look at this building. Lord compares us with a building. But look at the bricks. They held, support other bricks, and they are supported by others. And Peter said, you are the living stone. All building is held together by one corner stone, but you are the living stone, supported by others and supporting others. Or look at the flock, which is led by one shepherd. So everything that you'll find in the Bible will lead you to unity. And that's why we can see the difference between those two. The main difference is the mature, they give, they serve, they bring. But the kids, they are coming to the church Sunday morning or other days to receive, to feel good. And if you continue to see the difference between mature and kids, we can draw a chart and
church, the mature is looking for unity. The mature is already involved in the process of growing, of studying God's word to knowledge Christ. The mature is the one who speaks the truth in love, speaks and acts. But the kids are different, and you can say me what the passage, this passage is saying about the kids. They are unstable, like waves, because they are very easy, led astray by different fancy doctrines. Because it's impossible to live this Christian life if you are looking only for practical precepts from the Bible, if you are not staying on the foundation of doctrines, if you are not studying the whole God's purpose and whole God's word. So, and that's why, let me give you an illustration from the Bible. You know that Apostle Peter was, called to be a foundation of the church. He was actually a founder of the church and was called to become a fisherman of men. And if I would go for fishing, I'm not a fisherman. Till now, the fish, they hate me. They never come to me. But I saw the other fishermen, and what are you using to catch a lot of fish? What you are using to catch a lot of fish? A net. Now let's draw a net. If I will place ropes on this floor, and look, I place ropes. Is this a net? No. But if I will cross over with our other ropes, is this a net? Oh. You are really wise. You read verse 16. So you know that something is needed to be a net. What is the saying? Verse 16. What else do I need to have a net? I need joint supplies. I need to bound each one. And that's why, that's what I need. And I draw here, actually, I draw a net, but I draw a church. And each segment is a member of church. And I draw a church of 20 members, an ideal church. But research was made recently in Russia, in former Soviet Union. And they found out that only 20% of out of all the churches, out of all the members of church, are involved in the work of service. 80% are just coming to the church. And let's use that research and to leave only 20% of this 20-member church bounded together. But tell me how this bounding, how this bounds work, how this ligaments, how this joint appears. Tell me from verse 16, because it's very important to see if what can I do for having a church, a really united church. How this joint does appear. How? Verse 16. How? Verse 16. You are right, but go ahead. How this ligament does appear? As each part does its work. So as each part brings each service. So look, now I left only 20% of 20-member church bounded together, because that's a result of research in former Russia. Can this net catch people? Look, the members are there. They are coming to the church. And in Eastern Europe, and actually in the East, where we don't have a good heating system, it's a blessing when we have them during the winter, because they are bringing in their temperature. But it's a tragedy to have them during the summer. They are coming, they are seeing, but anyone has his own individual life, but they are not bounded together. And if we have such church, who is guilty that we don't have a united church? Who? From verse 16. Right. But try again to say more specific. Try again. Who is guilty? I am guilty. Because if I don't have that church, which is according to God's goal, purpose, Jesus made everything possible. He already appointed five categories of people. Those five categories of people are focused to perfect, to equip, to train saints. And every Sunday, those five categories of people should look, oh, did they have they started or not yet to serve? I had a team of people, and for 1 year, we passed through three Bible courses. And they said, oh, finally, now we are prepared. Let's go to work. And they said, no way, we are studying for ourselves. And they said, goodbye, because I'm not teaching anyone to study for their self. If you look to the first church, they just received the Holy Spirit. They didn't have any, they didn't graduate from any seminary, but they started to preach the gospel, and they were asking Lord, give us boldness. That's what we need. And they started immediately to spread the gospel. When I came to Christ, I didn't know why the church is coming together. Because I came to Christ, maybe one time I will tell the story. But reading the Bible, I realized that there is a God, and I'm not Him. And I have to repent. I have to receive. And when I came to the church, I didn't know why these people are coming together, but I realized that maybe during the week they are working hard to bring their friends, to motivate their neighbors, to bring them to hear the gospel. And that's why the next time I was bringing 25 people to the church, and that was my first understanding of the church. And I prayed to the Lord to remain with that understanding. If you are receiving, for example, a house, if I got a house now, but in my mind, that God gave me that house in that particular neighborhood in order for those people to see Christ, to hear Christ, and it's a place of meeting, of unity. Now, after we realize this, let's make a conclusion. And the conclusion is, in everything we do, lessons, sermons, seminars, we need to have the goal of teaching others to serve, and to serve for unity. Once I was talking with a KGB colonel, the officer, and when he heard that I'm a Christian, he said, oh, before I saw Christians, we were persecuting them, but they were so united together. And we were envying them when we were seeing how they are were building houses. As a team, they were building house for one person, after that for another person, and they that was really the church. But now we gave freedom. Now look at them. Look at them, how they are involved in quarrels, in conflicts. And I'm traveling from country to country, and I see how many people are involved in devil jobs. They are working for free with such a passion. They forgot already about the world, which is perishing, and they are involved in a church conflict. And the Lord said, no, my church not supposed to be in such way. And that's life. Now, if the saint is not serving, either five categories of specific saints are not doing properly their jobs, or maybe the saint doesn't allow to be perfected, to be equipped. I remember once in our church, a preacher was talking with a doctor. And they were joking, but getting to the point, a serious point, and the preacher said, what kind of doctors are you? Kidding. I came to hospital, and they just measured my temperature, and let me go. What kind of doctors are you? And the doctor told the preacher, but what kind of preachers are you? Because sometimes you even don't measure the temperature. So the problem, why the people don't serve, first could be the leaders, but most likely that is the problem in the each individual, because they don't allow others to equip them. Don't touch my private life. Don't touch my individual life. And that's why God gave us people, but also a wonderful tool which teach us, but also rebukes us. It's a mirror where I see how I look really, because a physical mirror will show me my appearance, but this mirror will show me my heart. And also, God, after rebuking you, doesn't allow you to remain in such low situation and instruct you how to change your situation. But after that, Lord will say, listen, after I taught you, after I rebuked you, after I correct you, what's your decision? What's your decision for today? No unity ever been made when you come with the attitude of receiving and not giving. If you read in Second Chronicles, life of King of Asa, in chapter 15, verse 18, you'll find that Asa for 35 years was bringing into the house of the Lord. But something happened with his life, and the last 6 years he was taken out of the house of the Lord. And maybe today is a good time to look at our life and to see, do I live a life when I'm bringing into, or I'm taking out? Why I'm coming to the church? To bring my abilities, talents, which God gave me at the first birth, but also He gave me gifts on the second birth. And what I'm doing here, I'm bringing where I came with the attitude to receive. And never a unity will be made if I will not receive my portion of service. And I'm looking for a team. I know that God placed me in this city to find a team of people who work together.
And 2 days ago, two people knocked on my door, and they were for a church from our neighborhood. And they came to greet me. It was such a joy for me. I can't describe what joy was for me to see people who were not staying in the church, who were going from house to house. And they said, look, let's work, let's do something together. Because that's why God placed us in a special place, named God's Church, to serve each other, to love each other, and to work together. And only in this way we'll have unity. May God bless you. Amen.
Let's pray.